Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the host of the Pro Football Scouting Show, and we are back with you discussing our training camp preview, our coverage that we're giving you of all 32 NFL teams, giving you a training camp preview for all of them, telling you what to expect, what are the keys on offense, what are the keys on defense, maybe some guys that could break out. It's that time of year. Football season is starting again, and today, this show is going to be featured by our Panthers analyst, Coach Jared Brown. He was actually on our last episode where him, Josh, and myself, Josh is also joining us, went over the New Orleans Saints training camp. Look, if you're a fan of any NFL team, what's the number one way to be a more informed fan? Learn about other teams. My team is the Giants. But years ago, I always made it a habit to learn as much as I could about what's going on with every team around the league. It just made my passion for not only for the game, but just for following the NFL greater. And, I encourage you to do that. This show is brought to you by PigskinNutsRadio.com, the soon-to-be undisputed king of football radio. Whether you're driving to work, on lunch break, driving home, or having a nice relaxing evening, it's always better when you're getting your football fix. Whether it's breaking down players in the Pro Football Scouting Show, tuning into controversial topics and debates on Pro Football Roundtable, discussing classic football players and topics on Wide Right, or exclusive shows on your favorite NFL team with our current lineup, including the Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, soon to be featuring the Browns, Broncos, Steelers, and Chiefs, this is the future of football radio. Make PigskinNut.com and PigskinNutRadio.com your ultimate source for football news and radio. It's the football news and radio you've been missing. So we're joined back, Josh Davis, our producer of Pigskin Nut Radio, and again, making his kind of his feature debut, we'll say. He was on the last episode of the Saints. Coach Jared Brown, who has played collegiately, Division II football, and also coaches offensive line, and he's our Panthers analyst and, a longtime Panthers fan. Jared, welcome. Are you ready for your time? You ready to discuss your Carolina Panthers?
Well, I'm a whole lot more excited to discuss my Panthers than I am to relive the horrors of having to discuss the Saints.
Well, we'll make this good for you now. So, Panthers. I think we look at storylines last year. Obviously, we know, the Cam Newton, with this coming back from that repaired shoulder. What went right for what? We look at the Panthers on the offensive side of the ball specifically. What went right, and then what went wrong for them last season?
Despite the record and missing the playoffs for the second time in 3 years, there's actually a lot that went right for them offensively. Norv Turner's offense really came into its own with the pieces he has in place now. Christian McCaffrey showed last year that he can absolutely be the feature back for the Panthers, which was the biggest knock on him coming out. Is he big enough to be the feature back, or is he just going to be kind of a kitschy swing back kind of guy? You're talking about a kid who went over 1,000 yards on the ground, almost 1,000 yards receiving, just shy of that. He had 867 receiving yards, double-digit touchdowns in terms of total between receiving and rushing. So he can definitely be the guy in the backfield. Newton took some steps forward in terms of taking what's there, not necessarily trying to force the ball over the top, which I think he struggled with, that has continued to struggle with, and he didn't get much help from his organization as they continued to load him with, you know, big receivers who press the field. So obviously he was tempted even more. That's kind of switched in the past few drafts. You get Curtis Samuel, you get DJ Moore, smaller receivers who are going to work into some space. They fit North Turner's offense a little better. And I really feel like Newton progressed a little bit last year before he really succumbed to that shoulder again. What went wrong? The same thing that's been wrong with the Carolina Panthers offense, even during the Super Bowl run, their offensive line. And of course, you know, it really showed itself in the Super Bowl, but they struggled yet again. Injuries, just some poor play at times. And then now that, you know, they have some retirements going there. But with that, in terms of what went wrong, that's actually turned itself into a positive for next season. I'm sure we'll talk about that in terms of, you know, what they did in the draft and what they did in some free agent signing as well.
Yeah. And we can hit on that now. You know, do you see this offensive line, you know, being better? You know, they did draft Greg Little. You know, what do you see from this offensive line, you know, maybe coming into the season, and what do you want to see in camp from them?
Yeah, so Greg Little is a very exciting pick, probably the most exciting pick of the draft for me, from the Panthers anyway, was Greg Little. I think he fits the bill for them, exactly what they need. I definitely think that as long as he lives up to what he's shown his potential could be, he'll be that left tackle and could be for the next, you know, 5, 7, 10 years. Losing Matt Khalil to retirement was nerve-wracking. He's been the anchor, the middle of that offensive line for a while. But then they go out and get the best offensive lineman available in free agency in Matt Paradis. So that was exciting. They keep Taylor Moten, who at times showed some flashes of things. I think he'll really take advantage of being able to be moved over to the right side. I truly believe Greg Little can anchor the left. And so going into training camp, I think the ceiling's very high for them. What I'd need to see, how quickly can they come together? Just how good is Greg Little, not just physically, but how mentally sound is he? How quickly can he pick things up? How quickly can he adjust to the speed of the game in terms of defensive linemen, and just how quickly things change, how defenses are disguised? And if all those things, they come out of camp feeling good about their offensive line, then they've got a real shot to be a contender again.
Yeah. You know, do you think, because they have Taylor Moten, who played left tackle, obviously they brought in Greg Little. Do we see maybe Taylor Moten competing with, you know, Darrell Williams on the right side? You know, do you see any competition there?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I'm not necessarily sure that Little is pinned in to that left tackle, but with he, Moten, and Darrell Williams, two of those guys are going to get the start. I'm assuming it's going to be Little and then the winner of Moten and Williams. And I think it could actually be Moten over there on that right side, over Darrell Williams. And then the exciting thing about that would be one of the biggest issues, especially last season, was, you know, they came out of camp with five guys who they felt comfortable with. And then let's just pray they don't, no one gets injured. Well, that's not the life of the NFL. And so having a little bit of depth there, even if Little doesn't get the start in week one, just knowing he's available should Williams or Moten, you know, get a nagging injury or need to come off the field, it's not a significant drop off. That alone will provide some growth.
And you know, they brought in DJ Moore, you know, last year. You know, they haven't really had, you know, a true number one wide receiver since Steve Smith. And Steve Smith actually raved about him. He actually said they haven't had a guy like this since me. I thought he was tremendous. Did you like what you see out of him his rookie year? You see him becoming even better his second year?
Absolutely love what I see as a rookie. DJ Moore, I was intrigued by the pick. I couldn't lie and say I was excited necessarily for it. I was intrigued by it. At the time, I was a little nervous knowing some of the struggles Newton's had for them to go get another small receiver. But Moore, I mean, was incredible. Definitely the closest thing to a true number one the Panthers have had since Steve Smith. I mean, he led the team in receiving as a rookie. Now, some of that is obviously Greg Olsen missing multiple games, but still almost 1,000 yards receiving. I definitely think he has all the tools necessary to make the jump in year two. But with that, defenses are also aware of DJ Moore now. So what will he be able to do when corners play him a little differently, when defensive coordinators schemed him a little bit differently? Can he make that progression mentally and physically to continue to be that leading receiver? I think he'll be helped out with Greg Olsen coming back. You get Ian Thomas, who also showed some glimpses last year of being a potential steal for a third round pick. So, but yeah, DJ Moore, probably the most exciting offensive player receiver wise the Panthers have had in quite some time.
Yeah. I think so too. He was a lot of fun to watch last year. You know, do you see a good number two for them there, or do you think someone will be fighting to really claim their throne as that number two receiver?
I definitely think it'll be a little bit of a battle. The number two receiver could very well be the tight end, and not just because Greg Olsen's fully healthy again. I mean, you know, he's had foot issues the past few years, but all the reports are, you know, he finally had the full surgery. His foot is completely repaired, so he should not be hampered by that. Obviously, he's an older version of himself who hasn't survived a full season the past couple years, so we'll see what he can do. But Ian Thomas is a guy who, even if he's not at the true, you know, attached tight end on the offensive line, maybe flex him out a little bit. He's a guy that could compete numbers-wise in terms of receptions and yards for that number two position. After that, it'll be a real interesting battle through training camp and honestly probably through the first quarter of the season to shake out who Newton is most comfortable with when he has to look away from DJ Moore.
Yeah, and speaking of Cam Newton, you know, he had a surgically repaired shoulder last year. You know, it's been noted, and I think, you know, we've talked about it, that, you know, he didn't, you know, his arm, you know, wasn't the same last year. You know, do you see him bouncing back now that he's one more year removed from the surgery, or could we be seeing, you know, more of the same from last year?
That's a great question. I'm sure the Panthers would say that he's going to be just fine and everything's great. But in reality, I think that's probably the biggest question mark of the Panthers offense in training camp, coming out of training camp, and definitely in week one and probably again through that first quarter of the season, is how does that shoulder hold up? I'm optimistic just based on the timetable that the Panthers have taken. They've been very slow with the arm in terms of letting him throw what they've asked him to do. So that's a good thing, giving him that opportunity to heal. You know, he's been shut down since since week 16 of last season. So things look good. The little bit of throwing he's done in the spring, when he put on camera looked good, but of course they're being selective with what's on camera. So, you know, he wasn't airing any kind of 80-yard bombs out there, but I'm optimistic that a year further removed from that surgery, with an offense that is not necessarily asking him to chuck it 60 yards in the air and have Ted Ginn or someone run underneath it. You know, Funchess is gone, so he's not just trying to get that vertical thread. He can work underneath. So, you know, his arm strength is not going to be how far he can throw it, but how quickly can he deliver a ball. And maybe having to deal with the shoulder, understanding that maybe he doesn't have quite the same arm strength that he had, or at least he's trying to build it back, he might be working on the accuracy a little bit, which will make him a far more effective and dangerous quarterback than he has been.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's going to be huge for them, because look, you know, you hear a lot of people talk about Cam Newton's overrated. He's overrated, but, the guy did win an MVP not that long ago. So, you know, I think him coming back, to full strength, you know, that would be huge. You know, do you see a backup there? I mean, do you see a competition there for that backup spot? You know, they drafted Will Greer, who I think was actually one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the draft. I mean, I've seen him drop it in the bucket, you know, pretty impressively a number of times and throw into tight windows despite not having a cannon of an arm. But you have Taylor Heinicke. You know, do you see a little competition brewing there for that backup spot?
Definite competition for that backup spot. You got to love Heinicke just based on what he showed last year. Very accurate guy. He's got some NFL experience. He's got some experience in the system now. So that is interesting. Don't forget about Kyle Allen, who, you know, was highly touted in college, coming into college. You know, that's another guy who could press the issue. And I loved the Will Grier pick. A lot of people scratched their heads. You know, a lot of Panthers fans.
I loved it too.
Yeah, I think it was good value, third round. You know, by no means am I saying that Will Grier's coming in and pushing Cam Newton. Look, Cam Newton is, if he's healthy, he's the starter. There's no one on the roster that could even potentially take his job this season. But Will Grier is an athletic, accurate guy who the Panthers kind of like to, you know, keep around. So, yes, in terms of the backup position, definitely think that there is competition there. In my opinion, it's between Heinicke and Grier. But I really hope the Panthers don't cut Allen. I'd love to see them, you know, maybe make a move, put him on the practice squad, keep him around, because you just don't know how long Newton's shoulder is going to hold up. I mean, that, you know, it's – everyone says it's okay. The doctor says it's okay. He says it feels okay, but – you know, that was also the news coming into last season, and he couldn't finish the year. And midway through the year, he couldn't throw the ball more than 20 yards down the field, and it showed. So, you know, I would like to see them keep all three quarterbacks. And, you know, if I'm building the depth chart today, it'd be, you know, Newton obviously one. I'd go Heinicke as my guy backing up, but then Will Grier would be right there. And that could easily change if Grier comes into training camp and shows that he's already ready.
Yeah, there's a lot to like there. Let me ask you this. You know, when, you know, there was a lot of talk last year about, you know, what should Christian McCaffrey's workload be? How do you feel he was utilized? You know, obviously he had a great year. In terms of his workload, do you want to see more of the same? Would you do anything different? You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Man, that it's a double-edged sword. And the reason that is, you almost want to see more of the same just because of how explosive he is. You've got to get the ball in his hands as often as you possibly can. But at the same time, he plays running back, which is also the position that wears out the absolute quickest. That's, you know, that's why Le'Veon Bell had such a hard time getting paid, and he never did get the number he wanted. It's not because Le'Veon Bell isn't, you know, one of the best players in the league. It's because he plays a position that, A, you can find value in all the time, and B, you know, you're only going to have for, you know, 5 years probably in terms of, you know, wear, tread on the tires. So we've got to find a way, the Panthers have to find a way to get him touches, get him opportunities to make the plays that he's shown he can make, carrying the ball and catching the ball. But they have to do a better job of, kind of like the Saints did with Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, taking some of the workload off of Christian McCaffrey. I think they had some guys there a year ago that maybe could have done that, and they just weren't effective. They're going to have guys on this roster. I mean, they drafted Jordan Scarlett from Florida, so they're going to have guys on this roster. They got Holyfield as an undrafted free agent.
Son of the real deal.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, from Georgia, who, you know, that guy, I realize he went undrafted, but he showed some flashes at Georgia. He could be pretty exciting as well. So, one of the keys for them training camp wise, you know, offensively is going to be finding a complement to Christian McCaffrey, not that just is on the roster or on the depth chart or, you know, is in the game occasionally, but someone that Norv Turner is willing to go to, willing to give significant carries to. That's, you know, it pains me to say, but it's one of the things the Saints have done really well the past two seasons is, yes, Alvin Kamara is their guy. He can do a lot of the things just like Christian McCaffrey can do, receiving and rushing the ball. But they did a great job of making sure Ingram got meaningful touches. The Panthers have got to find a second running back to do that.
Yeah, Jared, you know, I actually like the Holyfield pick. I think at the end of the day, you know, he got docked, you know, for that 40 time. But hey, like Pops, man, he's a fluid mover, very very fluid mover. And you know, no, he doesn't have that home run speed. But when you want to look at some of the other intangibles of being a good running back, there's some good stuff that I think you know, fans will see from him. You know, we talked about a lot of these things. We talked about who could be the second wide receiver. You know, how will this offensive line gel with some of these new additions? You know, Cam Newton coming back, managing Christian McCaffrey, a second running back. If you had to pinpoint one of these things, you know, as a Panthers fan, what's the one thing you want to see above all else from this offense and training camp?
It's going to have to be Newton. That doesn't make anything else less important, but the Panthers aren't going to the playoffs with Tyler Heinicke at quarterback. That's not in any way throwing shade at him, but he's not going to be able to lead a team to the playoffs, especially one that is in a division with Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, okay, Jameis Winston. That's just not going to happen. So if Cam Newton, he doesn't necessarily have to be the Cam Newton of 2013, 14, and 15, running over defenders, you know, intentionally getting him rush yards. That's not necessarily the Newton we need. We need a little bit more of a cerebral Cam Newton, a guy who can deliver the ball to what the front office has delivered in threats, you know, Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore. We haven't even mentioned Curtis Samuel, who, you know, fell off is a hard way to phrase it for last season, but probably didn't live up to his rookie year. So, you know, Cam Newton's ability to come in, lead the offense, and be physically capable is the biggest key for them offensively, and it might be the biggest key for the team in general in terms of this season. If Newton's not on the field for this season, they're going to have to start looking for a quarterback, and they're probably going to miss the playoffs for the second straight year.
Yeah, I'm in agreement on that as well. I think that's the ultimate key here. So we're gonna take a quick commercial break. We've just wrapped up talking about the Panthers training camp preview on the offensive side of the ball. Now we're gonna go to the defensive side of the ball right after our break. All right, we're back here on the Pro Football Scouting Show, talking Panthers football with our lead Panthers analyst, Coach Jared Brown. You can check out his writing at pigskinnut.com/Panthers. You got a team that's been known for defense, over the last few years, especially when you look at the front seven. You know, what did you like from this defense last year, and what did you not like?
Huh, what did I like? Luke Kuechly had another great year and stayed concussion-free, and that's probably where that's going to end in terms of what I liked defensively. Struggled mightily with the pass rush, which really hurt the back end, the secondary. I think our secondary caught a little bit of flack based on the fact that none of the pass rush was really getting home. In today's NFL, there's not a secondary that's going to be able to cover receivers for 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds, which is exactly what we were asking Dante Jackson and company to do. And it's just not plausible, especially, again, in a division that has Drew Brees and Matt Ryan. So the pass rush is going to have to improve. That's the biggest thing. Secondary, there are some pieces in place that I think need to grow a little bit. Linebacking core, of course, we lose Thomas Davis. That's a tough decision, but it's a business decision. As you know, I can't complain with front office moves as of late, so I'll trust the process, and I think most Panthers fans would agree over the past three-ish, 4 years, the front office has really ran things pretty well and kind of gotten out of players at the right time and gotten into players at the right time. So losing Thomas Davis is big. How do the Panthers replace him? So going into training camp, it's a big question mark, and which is surprising. Again, as you said, I mean, the Panthers are a team that's kind of hung their hat on defense for quite some time now. And so for last season, for the defense to be a glaring weakness was surprising.
Yeah. It was, and you know they've reloaded, you know, with some new guys there. You know, Josh, you know, I'm gonna bring you in now. You know, obviously, you know, you follow the Bucks very closely. You know, we know what Gerald McCoy has meant to that team, and really, I think, you know, we could all just kind of chime in here if we want. But Josh, I'll let you go first. But they also brought in a guy that you've watched for a number of years play at Florida State, Brian Burns. I think when you turned on the NFL Combine and you said which of these linebackers are the best movers, you know, I looked at Devin White, Devin Bush, Josh Allen, and Brian Burns, and maybe Brian Burns might have been the most fluid mover that I saw. You know, what can McCoy and Burns, you know, add to their pass rush, you know, their rookie year?
Well, I'll start out with McCoy. You know, one thing that McCoy can bring to that locker room is more leadership, you know, more veteran leadership. You know, the guy knows how to lead a defense. And not only that, while his productivity has fallen off in the last couple of years, he's still been a guy that will get out there and bust his tail. And I've noticed, you know, that he has really worked hard this offseason to get, I guess, leaner. You know, he's he has said in a few interviews that his body fat is down, his muscle is up, and he's really trying to build up a little bit more of that upper body strength so he can get a better push coming off the line there to help out in the middle, you know, in that interior line there for the Panthers. And then when you get Burns in there, you've got a guy that is quick, and he can get across the line almost quicker than a guy, especially when you're talking about a tackle, can raise up out of his stance. And not only that, you know, even if a guy has a good recovery step there, you know, he can bend. I know you've said that before, you know, he can bend around that line and get to
he's
him.
Gumby. He's Gumby.
Oh, man. And another thing about him is he's put on weight, too. You know, he put on about 30, 35 pounds before the combine to show that he will do what it takes, because he did play around 225. They listed him at 230, 232 last year at Florida State, but that's not what he played. He played at 220, 225, and that's a little slim for a defensive end. But he bulked up a little bit, got in there, and, you know, he's got some strength that he can use too. But he's not just one-dimensional. He doesn't just get after the quarterback. He can take a step back and get into coverage a little bit. And that's something that, you know, I think that he also adds, is that he can play both ways. He can do that, and he can be impactful in the run. He wasn't too terribly, you know, that's not what he was known for at Florida State against the run. But, you know, it's not because he couldn't do it. He wasn't called to do that for a whole lot. They usually put him with his hand in the dirt to get after the passer, because, you know, the ACC, we're not necessarily known for our running backs. Yeah, we've got, you know, we've got some good ones that have come out before, but we're known for a passing attack. So that's what we recruited there at Florida State. So, you know, he was able to get after the passer, and that's something that he's going to be able to do, especially with the loss of Julius Peppers. So, you know, he'll be able to get in there and get after it. I think he'll be able to contribute day one. Now, I don't know exactly what's happened over this offseason for the practices, Jared, so maybe you can shed a little bit more light on what they've seen and what they're saying about him and McCoy this offseason so far heading into camp.
Yeah, absolutely. So Burns was a guy that I liked the pick. I wasn't in love with it early when they first made it. But then as the roster started to develop, and then as the rumors and innuendo of a scheme switch came to fruition, I began to really love that Brian Burns pick. You know, Ron Rivera and the Panthers, even predating Ron Rivera, the Panthers have been a 4-3 defense, you know, for what seems like their entire history. You know, there have been spurts in there where they dabbled in other things, but they're going to be a 3-4 this coming season. That's going to be their base defense. And that's important because you mentioned Brian Burns. You know, he's a guy, yeah, he bulked up to 235 for the combine. That's not a weight he's going to be able to maintain. He's going to play at 220, 225, and that's not necessarily big enough to be a true defensive end in that 4-3 scheme. The Panthers
gotta be standing.
Yeah. However, if you're in that 3-4, now Burns can play at that 225. He's going to be more of an outside linebacker standing up. What can he do? He can cover the flat. He can run with the receiver in a limited amount of space, and he can bend off the edge. But what do we need him to do in a 3-4? Exactly those things. So Brian Burns is going to fit in great. All reports from camps, Ron Rivera loves him. Defensive coordinators, defensive coaches are loving him. Luke Kuechly has said that his work ethic is fantastic. And so if you get Luke Kuechly's stamp of approval on the Panthers defense, then obviously you're doing something right. So excited to see what Brian Burns brings. And, you know, McCoy was a guy that as soon as he hit the free agent market, as soon as the Bucs decided they were going to part ways with him, I immediately thought he might fit in well with the Panthers. Dontari Poe, who did not have a great season for the Panthers last year, is a guy who's poised to have a huge year with this transition. I think Poe was probably in the wrong scheme. Panthers probably had him doing some things that he wasn't comfortable and probably can't do, trying to be the three technique, an athletic defensive lineman in that 4-3 defense, trying to rush the passer and things like that. Now that they're going to be a 3-4, he can be a true kind of gap scheme nose, just eating up blocks, taking up space. That'll make him more effective. That'll allow the defense overall to be more effective.
I agree. I think, you know, if they're moving to that, you know, you're right. That really benefits this personnel. Dontari Poe, I mean, he was one of the most ridiculous defensive tackle performers we've seen in combine history, maybe the most. But you know, ultimately, you know, despite his absurd athleticism, you know, this is a guy that, you know, he really would thrive best, you know, as a 3-4 playing a 0 or a 1. You know, to ask him to be, you know, the three technique and, hey, you're always splitting the B gap and, you know, it's he can do it. But, you know, I think there's better ways to utilize his strengths. And, you know, like you're saying with Burns, you know, I don't think he's big enough to play with his hand in the dirt. But, you know, standing up, I'll tell you this, you know, outside of being able to convert speed to power, there's not much difference between him and Josh Allen. I'll tell you this. I think when you look at the guys that had the fastest first steps of all the linebackers, it was Allen and it was Burns, and it was close. And they can both bend around the edge. And I'll tell you this, I think Josh Allen is a better football player at this time. But I thought personally that most people talking about edge rushers in the draft, I thought they placed overall just way too much of a gap between Brian Burns and Josh Allen. I really thought Burns may have been the most one of the very most underrated players in that first round. So I'll tell you this. I think you guys drafted what, 15th or 16th, Jared? Do you remember when you guys drafted what pick?
Yeah,
it was?
Right there in the middle, number 16 overall.
Yes. Okay. So I remember this. So, as a Giants fan, I was waiting for my team right after you would pick number 17. And I said there were two players that I wanted. And they did get the second player I wanted. But my board at the time was I want Brian Burns first. I want Dexter Lawrence second. You took Burns. I don't know if they would have taken him anyway, but, you know, the Giants got Lawrence. So, you know, I remember like saying, God damn it. I think you got a good player there. You know, what about, Bruce Irvin? He's in the mix there as well. When you look at McCoy, and you could talk more on Irvin, you know, McCoy, Burns, and then now Irvin, you know, is good play from these three additions, is this what this defense needs to turn it around up front?
I think so. They're also going to need Mario Addison to perform well on the other end. They're absolutely going to need that on the other side. They're going to need Kyle Love to be able to take some snaps away from Dontari Poe to give him a break, to keep him fresh. So it's going to really have to be defensive line by committee. Which is a little easier to do, obviously, when you're only having to field three at a time. Bruce Irvin is a great addition. Sign him in free agency. He's Brian Burns obviously has far more upside. He's got youth. I think physically he's probably, in my opinion, a little bit better player. But Bruce Irvin is a very similar player in terms of what his strengths are. He's going to be able to provide that stand-up pass rush. He's going to be able to give you a little bit of flat coverage help. So that's big. Someone that no one's really talking about, the Panthers took in that fifth round, Christian Miller, the linebacker from Alabama. He's a guy that's going to – he's not going to help on the edge with the pass rush. He's not taking Brian Burns snaps, but he's definitely going to be able to help replace Thomas Davis. Keekly is clearly, you know, going to start on the inside. And then the Panthers also have Shaq Thomas in there, who's got plenty of experience. But Christian Miller from Alabama is a kid who's definitely going to be able to help hold up against the run, which is going to be key for linebackers now. There's one less defensive lineman. They're a little less protected. Miller's going to be able to fill gaps, get off of blocks, and take some of the rushing threat away. So that between him, Bruce Irvin, Mario Addison, McCoy, Brian Burns, you know, Poe probably playing better, I really see this defense taking a leap. We haven't talked much about that back four, kind of focusing on the front seven, but if that front seven can take a leap and be a better unit overall, it's going to take some pressure off the back four, who, you know, again, as much as, you know, they were kind of denigrated a year ago, Dante Jackson had a solid rookie campaign. Rashawn Golden was playing very well and looks in camp, going into camp anyway, to be able to fill the safety void. So they've got pieces in the back. It's really going to be about how quickly can they get this 3-4 up to speed. You know, Keekly was quoted as saying that he likes it. He likes the freedom he's given to kind of roam through the middle. So we'll see coming out of camp just how comfortable they are.
Yeah, and we're going to take our last commercial break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about on the secondary you know, really what's the key to a successful – the biggest key to a successful camp for this Panthers defense. We'll be right back. All right, we're back here on the Pro Football Scouting Show. Finishing our talk here on the Panthers, previewing their training camp. You know, we're starting to talk about the back end of the defense now. Eric Reed, former Pro Bowler. Dante Jackson, very, very impressive, you know, his rookie year. You know, what do you see as, you know, if you're going to get a great training camp from this secondary, you know, what does that look like to you?
A great training camp is going to be Dante Jackson continuing to improve. I thought he had a great year. He filled in as a starting corner for the Panthers right away. I mean, there were times where surely he made mistakes. I think they were mostly mental. So can he take a step forward? Can Golden take a step forward as the second safety? Can he definitively take over that role, make that his position? Can he win that and keep that? Can James Bradberry continue his form? He's been a player for a few years now that's done a great job as a corner. And then Eric Reed, loved what he was able to bring a year ago. Now he's got a full offseason. He's been around the team. He's got this transition in terms of the 3-4 defense. How much growth can he have? And how much tread does he have left on the tires? Because, yes, you know, he's not old necessarily, but you get old really fast in the NFL, even from a defensive back perspective. So can he keep up in that back end?
Good stuff there. What do you see as, you know, if you're gonna see, you know, an improved training camp, an improved, you know, defense in training camp, what's, if you're gonna point to one thing, what's the one thing you want to see above anything else?
One thing that they're going to have to absolutely do is mentally be fully committed and understand what's going on in the front seven with this 3-4. There can be no confusion from the linebacking core, especially. There can be no confusion from those front three there. You're making this transition because, again, the secondary was exposed at times last year. However, I truly feel that was more to do with being almost incapable of getting a pass rush at times. I mean, you know, quarterbacks were standing back there with all day to throw the ball. So if they cannot come out of training camp with a definitive rotation at the linebacking core, with a definitive defensive line rotation that can consistently rush the quarterback while not, you know, leaving gaping holes for the run game, then it's going to be another long year defensively.
Yeah, so it's really going to be, you know, unification in this 3-4 scheme above everything else. So I like that. You know, a lot of times we talk about a player or something like that, but you know, you do make a good point, because you know, they're switching the scheme. The scheme should benefit these guys. There's going to be some new things to pick up, and you know, as a unit collectively, you know, they'll have to make that jump with a lot of the same players, you know, with a lot of the same players, you know, still there. You know, let me ask you this though. You know, with, you know, if they go to a 3-4, you know, how do you see Gerald McCoy fitting in there? Because you know, he's not the 3-4 nose tackle that you think of in a Don Terry Poe. Do you think he'll be, you know, how do you think he'll be best utilized there if that's the case?
That's a good question, and he might be the biggest question mark despite the excitement of signing him. In terms of the new additions for the Panthers, I don't think that he can consistently be that nose that Don Terry Poe is, but he could definitely rotate through there, especially on downs, you know, third and long, obvious passing situations. He could be a change of pace for a center. He's probably a little quicker. He certainly got the pass rush moves, so that could definitely steal some reps for him there. In terms of where he fits most naturally, probably the defensive end of the 3-4. And I'll be curious to see how well he does, because he's not going to have the edge necessarily that, you know, they'll have the outside linebacker walked up for that. So how well can he utilize the B gap? How quickly can he get off? And some of that too will be how creative can Ron Rivera and company be in terms of how they're blitzing, like Brian Burns, you know, done inside, thus giving McCoy the edge. And maybe McCoy is a guy who, though signed and is a big name, is not someone who's necessarily playing, you know, 3 out of 4 downs. He might be a rotational guy that you see in obvious passing situations, to just take pressure off of Don Terry Poe.
Yeah, and you know, in the NFL nowadays, I mean, you know, you see teams, it's like, hey, we're, you know, they are a 3-4 team, but we'll give them some 4-3 looks still. And you know, they certainly can do that. You know, as a Giants fan, you know, James Bechery primarily has them in a 3-4, but you know, teams do mix it up. And we're seeing, you know, more of that now. Here's another interesting question, and I look at this because we share a player here, a player who's I thought, you know, given his athletic ability, you know, he was a good football player, better than, you know, what people would have thought, and that's Chase Blackburn. He's the special teams coach. He's been with this Panthers organization for a bit now from his playing days. You know, if they have trouble defensively, Could you see him, you know, being in the mix to be that next D coordinator, or maybe, you know, itching his way to eventually do that?
I definitely think, you know, it's almost overstated. You talk about, you know, coaches on the hot seat and things like that. But if there's a Panthers coach who eyes are on, it's not Ron Rivera. It's definitely defensive coordinator Eric Washington. Things did not go well a year ago. Now Ron Rivera has said all the right things in terms of being confident in Washington and, you know, looking forward to a good year. But if the Panthers are struggling, especially coming straight out of camp, you know, early in the season, definitely Blackburn could be a guy who starts to move that role. I don't see it happening in season, if anything, I could see Rivera just taking on more of the role, maybe even taking play calling away from Washington, and then Blackburn maybe moving up the ladder a little bit in the offseason. But Blackburn is definitely in a pretty good spot in terms of, you know, if Eric Washington can't get things going the way that Panthers fans and the organization have been accustomed to, Chase could certainly move up the ladder that way.
Yeah, no, that'd be interesting to see, you know, how that all plays out. So very good. So, you know, Jared, we thank you for joining us to, you know, help us cover the Saints and, you know, now the Panthers as well. This show was brought to you by PigskinNut.com and PigskinNutRadio.com. And look, here's what you get when you go there. You go to PigskinNutRadio.com. It's a 24/7 football news station. You can listen to our different shows. We have them on different NFL teams. We have scouting shows like this one. We have roundtable discussions and you know, things of that nature. And we try to give you a very, very complete football radio station. So do check us out. Go to PigskinNutRadio.com. And like we say in our advertisement, whether you're in the car, driving to work, going home, look, it's always good to have radio on. And I think, you know, when you look at, you know, quality stations that play good quality football content with good analysis that you listen to all the time, you know, I'm really proud of, you know, what we've developed here. Thanks to Josh Davis, our producer, and Jared Brown for coming on here. You know, we will talk to you guys next time when we give you our next training camp preview, because up next, we're going to have Josh on talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Stay tuned.